This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
With you for about another 15 minutes or so. Today's topic of discussion is all about the best piece of leadership advice that your mother gave you. We've had a message from Melissa Tiong over on WhatsApp who said it's less of advice, but more of a role model. She worked when I was growing up, which I think was still relatively uncommon for her generation. But I'm comparing that to my friends' mums and my aunties who didn't work. She also continued to take on opportunities, including a job overseas in her 50s, despite her own mum and her peers telling her, "Why are you still working so hard at this age?" She may not have been as available as other mums who didn't work when I was growing up, but she's shown me the importance of working hard and, more importantly, loving what you do. There you go. Keep the messages coming in, folks. Over to Twitter.
Yeah, we have one on Twitter. But this is from Xavier Ma, who says, "Whatever decisions you are going to make, be responsible to it. You decide your future."
There you go. Keep the messages coming in, folks. 0187898899 on WhatsApp and Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio. So, final story of the day, the big business of loneliness. This is something I've been doing a bit of research on lately because it's a topic that interests me, how we've kind of, you know, social media is this double-edged sword, and we've spoken about it a lot in two ways. You spend a lot of time on social media. You find friends on there. You make connections on there. But at the same time, whilst you're doing that, you often forget that there's a real world outside of that black mirror. And, you know, you lose track of your real friends and your real family. And it can be difficult to form relationships and have, you know, social interaction. So I've been looking at this thing where there's a lot of money coming into these co-working spaces and friendship apps and adult dorms that are essentially selling human connection. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a story. This is from, imagine you're in New York, in Brooklyn, and this is a place that's located in the basement of a three-story residence that houses 20 people. The TV room is crowded. Conversations coming together and splintering off again. People are watching. They're also talking, sharing opinions and swapping movie trivia. You know, it's an energetic, young, diverse crowd. So this kind of conversation, this warmth, is what this guy, Ben Smith, is in the business of selling. He is the CEO and co-founder of a company called Tribe. Now, Tribe are a co-living space with seven locations in Brooklyn whose motto is, "We help you make friends."
Wow.
Just let that sink in for a sec. So they offer furnished rooms at a premium. So a bed in a shared room in Brooklyn costs between $750 and $950 per month. To put that into perspective, in ringgit, I know we shouldn't be converting it like, you know, but like for like, but that is between 3.1 and 3.9 thousand ringgit per month, while prices for a single room range from $1,150 to $1,700. So that's 4.8 to 7,000 ringgit. Bathrooms and kitchens are shared, and according to Smith, the product really is the people. Well, yeah, it is, isn't it?
Okay, so this is the similar situation where in KL, right, someone gets a room and he becomes the main landlord for the place.
Correct.
And then he sublets it to a few people. I mean, it's the same concept. I think it's kind of new, I guess, in New York. Maybe.
Right. I think the focus of this, though, is that you have this tribe do not, you can't just move in. They have an interview process.
Ah, okay.
So you have to submit a video of who you are, what you do, what your likes, what your interests are. And you also have to submit to a financial review because clearly it's not the cheapest of things to be doing. But there's benefits for doing this. I mean, if let's imagine you are moving from KL or wherever to Brooklyn and you want an immediate social circle.
It can be isolating and cold.
Exactly. Yeah. Any new city, as I know, and I'm sure you two know as well, if you move away, it's an isolating experience and it takes you time to get involved. But I think the fact that we are willing to pay a premium in today's society to be able to do that, I think there's something not quite right there. Mm-hmm. So moving on, to be sure, you know, there are valid positive reasons to move, to live alone, to not marry or to start a family, or to trade a 9-to-5 job for the flexibility of stuff like freelancing. But these societal shifts coincide with a rise in the percentage of people who report feeling adrift, their lack of sense of community, or an offline support system. So, you know, this social void, a whole bunch of companies and entrepreneurs are selling an end to social isolation. So over the past decade, on-demand connections have become both a big business and a powerful marketing opportunity, from co-living apartments, co-working spaces to apps that help facilitate human connection. But there's a lot of investment and infrastructure being built around services that help human bonds with other humans. So does any of it work, or is it just as expensive for what they are? So there's a company called WeWork who were launched in 2010. They've recently been valued at $47 billion. Wow. Mm-hmm. They've made facilitating connections an explicit part of their mission. This guy, the co-founder, Miguel McKelvey, he told the New York Times, the company isn't simply building a workspace. They're building a new infrastructure to rebuild social fabric and rebuild up the potential for human connection. I read that sentence and it genuinely made me feel sad.
Right?
Yeah.
That you've got a company worth $46 billion who are essentially trying to reconnect us as human beings. And yet, when you look at what they do and how their business model works, it's all being done via social media, via these apps that effectively are what are separating us in the first place.
So when you look at New York with lots of people there and then there is no connection, you're just surrounded by people but you don't have a connection. And we have to be very careful as well that we don't move in that direction. I think when you look at these things, can you move in the direction? I can see how this will work in Hong Kong.
Right.
Right.
Yes, you know, sure, that kind of, sure.
Or even in Tokyo, right? Because where everybody's like people, but you're not connecting with anyone, right?
So you've got apps popping up like Hey Vina, which is an app that effectively connects other women to make friends. Mm. You know, you sign up, can you find me a friend here in New York? Can you find me a friend here in KL? Yeah. Because people are so scared of going out and doing this other thing. The problem is with when you get lonely, your brain alters. And what it does, it puts your nervous system on this kind of constant alert. And what that does is spurs further isolation. So you've got to find a way out of that. And for the most part, psychologists will tell you that if you go out immediately, you could get all more isolated because you're scaring your body into shock. You know, you need to kind of slowly introduce yourself. And I suppose in some ways these apps are doing the right thing. Mm. But it's like slapping a bandage on, you know, something rather than curing the problem.
You guys have been talking about how this applies to New York and Hong Kong and even Tokyo, but this is already happening right here in Kuala Lumpur. You know, you look at most of the co-working spaces that we have, the essence of it is the community, building the community, building that networking. You know, yes, it might seem to be on like a business level so that you can network and you can see how you can work together, but it's also about building relationships amongst people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but haven't you heard of influencers who have like, I don't know, millions, thousands and millions of followers on social media, but the problem with them is they feel alone. And when they go out to social events, they suffer from agoraphobia.
Yeah.
Just because they're not used to, yes, you know, on social media, they have photographs with, you know, hundreds of people and they're all doing fun stuff and they always look happy, but it is a real issue. Loneliness is a real issue for these influencers. Also, just because, you know, do you gain meaningful relationships and friendships? That is something that, you know, we should be working on.
Now, that's the other thing. And it's interesting that you bring up influencers, because what I'd like to see is for some of these influencers, instead of pushing a brand or instead of pushing a product or something, is just to say, you know, okay, let's all meet up. You all follow me for the same reason. Mm. Let's all meet in a park somewhere. Let's all do this somewhere. Let's socialize. Let's do something. Let's get to know one another. I think something like that would be really, really interesting.
Because look at how much you have to pay in order just to make friends, you know, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Ladies and gents, we have come to the end of the show. Really interesting feedback regarding the leadership advice that mothers gave us as we were growing up. Not to mention the fact that my mother managed to market weak milk to me by adding water to the milk.
Made you stronger.
Made me stronger. It did indeed. We've got to quickly wrap up though, but the stories that we covered, of course, we did start off with that story from Frida.
7 reasons moms should be entrepreneurs.
And then that story about the most underused resource in America, it's returning moms.
Wrapping up with that story of the big business of loneliness. If you missed any part of this show, don't forget, you can download the podcast a little bit later on. It will be available via our app, which is available in the Google App Store and...
And Google Play. Apple,
that's what I meant. Yes, thank you, Audrey. We're also on Spotify as well. But don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. A year since Pakatan Harapan won over Putrajaya, the Breakfast Grill checked in with the foreign minister, that of course is Saifuddin Abdullah, on his overall assessment of first year of governance, as well as his ministry's policies, objectives. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury with...
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, at noon for Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.